I had a young lady, a month, 2 months ago, I don't remember exactly, but a little while back, asked me if I would do a sermon on kindness. And so I thought, well, I'll just look and see if I have anything on kindness. And you know what? In the hundreds and hundreds of sermons in my file and on my computer, I couldn't find one on kindness at all. So this is all brand new. But it's not really new. It is from old. And it is definitely something we ought to think about. And I appreciate the asking of this young lady to talk about this idea of kindness and what it really means. I think we need to think about kindness. We live in a society, we live in a world filled with hostility, filled with anger and hate. And we are to be a people that in the midst of all of that exude kindness. It ought to just come right out of our pores. That's what kindness really is. In fact, in defining kindness, I went to an old dictionary that I have. After I put down what it said, I looked at the date of the last renewal of it, and it was 1953. So that was almost 64 years ago now. And so then I got to thinking, well, maybe that's not a sufficient enough definition, because it just basically said the quality of being kind. Isn't it always good when they define words with the word? It also said, to be specific, benevolence, feeling kind or a kind feeling, affection, a kind act, an act of goodwill. Okay, well, I wasn't satisfied with that, and so I went to something else. I went to Wikipedia, and I don't always like Wikipedia because there's all kinds of things on there that are just simply not worth looking at, but this was interesting. It says of kindness, it is a behavior marked by ethical characteristics, a pleasant disposition, a concern for others. It is known as a virtue, and it certainly is because we just heard it read in Galatians 5. And is recognized as a value in many cultures and religions. Says that Aristotle, in book 2 of his Rhetoric, defines it as being helpfulness towards someone in need, not in return for anything, nor for the advantage of the helper himself, but for that of the person helped. Yeah. I think that's exactly what it should be and what we ought to think about. In fact, when I look at what Vine said about the word that is used here in the Greek in particular, he says of it that it denotes goodness in the sense of kindness of heart or act. It signifies not merely goodness as a quality, rather it is goodness in action, goodness expressing itself in deeds, yet not goodness expressing itself in indignation against sin, for it is contrast with severity in Romans 11:22, which we will mention, but in grace and tenderness and compassion. That's the kind of people we are to be. That's the kind of person I want to be. We read from Galatians, or had read this morning from Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to emphasize that it says fruit of the Spirit and not fruits of the Spirit. Oftentimes, individuals look at that passage and they talk about it as if God is saying that these are all different kinds of fruit of the Spirit. No, he's saying that they are all the fruit of the Spirit. And that kindness is just one portion of that fruit of the Spirit, or one aspect of that fruit of the Spirit. Again, let's look at that passage beginning in verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is... This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, we also walk by the Spirit. Just plainly understood that if you claim to live by the Spirit, that you ought to walk by the Spirit in the same way. Notice the words that are categorized here with kindness, love. Kindness comes out of love, doesn't it? It absolutely does. Kindness incorporates joy, the joy of giving and sharing with others. Peace, patience. It's goodness to do these things. And it's faithful because our God is a God of great kindness. In fact, not only does this passage show what ought to be a part of our lives, there are many other passages that show what ought to be a part of our lives. Kindness is simply one of the things among many others that are to be a part of our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7, when Peter is talking about adding things to our faith, notice that he says, back up to verse 5. Now for this very reason, also apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. Now again, notice all of the words that are incorporated here and things that we're to add to our faith, are they not also incorporated in that aspect of fruit of the Spirit? They absolutely are. And then in verse 8 he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are our qualities, if they are a part of who we are, notice that they render us neither useless nor unfruitful in serving our God, but they must be increasing. We never get to a point in life where we can become stagnant, where we can become self-satisfied with what we've accomplished and say to ourselves, we don't have any need to go beyond this. These things must continue to increase as long as we live in this world and are serving Jesus Christ. In fact, in Colossians 3, Paul talks about things that are to be put on, or to be put on to our heart. In Colossians 3, I want you to notice with me beginning at verse 12 and running through verse 17. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. Notice the things that are being said here. So, as those who are chosen of God. You've been chosen of God. Now, how were you chosen, though? You were not chosen just simply because God liked you better than He liked someone else, was it? You were chosen of God by a perfect plan that God had intended, as we talked about this morning in Bible class. From the very beginning, from the very foundation of the world, God had this perfect plan. And you've been chosen through that particular plan. And we're to be holy and beloved. But we're to put on a heart of compassion and kindness. Kindness and compassion go together. Humility is another aspect of being a kind individual. Gentleness and patience. Put these things on in your heart. Make it a part of who you are. And then in verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. I've preached for about 35 years. And I am so grieved at times as I remember back the dissension and the discord that existed and has existed among the people of God. To me, it is a truly shameful thing, and to have even been involved in some of those things, it grieves me even more. We are to be the kind of people who bear with one another. Our love and our kindness is so great that we can put up with a lot of difficult things. Now, I am not suggesting, and please don't misunderstand, I am not suggesting that we put up with things that are not doctrinal or things that are not biblical. But friends, we have differences of opinions and we have different thinking about some things. I have known individuals who have gotten upset and got disgruntled with other brothers and sisters of Christ because of the color of the curtains in the windows. And that is just simply outrageous. It is ridiculous. And it is shameful. And it certainly does not bring any glory to God at all. I have the ability to put up with my wife's difference of opinion in the things that she likes and the things that I like. And if I can put up with hers, then I certainly can put up with everybody else's, can't I? And I should put up with hers. Because God calls me as the head of the family to be that kind of a man. And to be considerate of her and to be kind to her. Tender-hearted toward her. And I need to have that same aspect and understanding toward others. And notice he goes on and says, forgiving each other for wronging me. Don't hold it up. Don't mark, okay, they did this and they did this. As a kind-hearted person, I don't do that. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, and Paul qualifies it, doesn't he? Just as God, or just as Jesus forgave you. Isn't that what he says? Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Kindness will allow us to do that very thing. Might also notice in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, that it is a part of working with God. In 2 Corinthians 6, we're going to begin. 2 Corinthians, yes, 2 Corinthians 6, not 1st. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 1. I want you to notice here with me, and working together with Him, that's God, or the Lord, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for He says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. We're to be the kind of individuals who do not cause discredit to come upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardship, in distress, in beatings, imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Notice all of the difficulties that Paul talks about being able to endure and go through, and not giving any cause for offense in those things. In purity, then, he says in verse 6, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, real love. None of this fake stuff that the world talks about. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true. Notice all of the terrible things being said about Christians and how Christians are being treated. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. And as this kind of individual, enduring all of these things, I'm still to be a kind and loving and tender-hearted person for the salvation of others. Because we are the servants of God. And secondly, or thirdly we could say, this is how God has treated us, is it not? Look again at Peter's writings in 1 Peter this time in chapter 2. In 1 Peter 2, notice with me verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, question is, have you tasted the kindness of the Lord? You should have. If you're a child of God, then you certainly did taste of the kindness of God, and you continue to taste of His kindness and His forgiveness of your sins. Over in Romans, the second chapter, in Romans 2, notice with me there, beginning at verse 1, Romans 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who pass judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you are who judge, practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Now, Paul has just condemned the world of sin, hasn't he? Every person, verse 23 of chapter 3, sums it all up. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 4 here of chapter 2, or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? God's kindness toward us. Do we really think lightly of that? Of His tolerance? Of His patience? Knowing that the kindness of God is for the very purpose of our repentance. Peter says that God does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. Now, I know God's not going to get what He wants because not everybody's going to be saved. There are going to be many who reject the offer and have rejected the offer. Do we regard lightly His kindness? Note again the words used in connection. They are the very same words used in connection with our fruit of the Spirit and what we're to put on in our lives as Christians. Back in Titus, the third chapter, in Titus 3, notice with me there verse 4. Titus 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Verse 5. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom we have poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The kindness of God again extended to us. And it was through that when it appeared, when Jesus Christ came, lived, shed His blood on the cross as we just observed the memorial of that. It was through that that God saved us who have obeyed Him. In Ephesians, the second chapter, in Ephesians 2, and beginning at verse 4, Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, and made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's one of the places I have marked. I've highlighted His grace in kindness toward us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. So that we would walk in them, rather. God was kind to us. He extended that kindness. And again, I call your attention to Romans, the 11th chapter this time. In Romans 11, and notice there with me, verse 22. Romans 11 and verse 22. How God treated the branches. He says, behold then the kindness and the severity of God to those who fail severity, but to you God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now he's talking about the branches. The old branches were cut off so that the new branches could be grafted in, but that doesn't mean the new branches can't be cut back off and the old branches grafted back in. Again, notice there, behold then the kindness and the severity of God to those who fail, severity, but to you, God's kindness. God's kindness was extended to us. And think about some examples of these things. In Acts the 9th chapter, in verse 36, we read about a woman by the name of Dorcas. Her kind acts. And when she died, the people were weeping and grieving over her loss because of all the kind things that she had done. And as a result, Peter raised her from the dead. In Acts 28, in verse 2, when Paul is shipwrecked there on the island and the the treatment that the natives of the island gave to them who had been shipwrecked, starting a fire and warming them and feeding them and taking care of them. And I'm reminded in the Old Testament of David's act of kindness. In 2 Samuel 2 and verses 5 and 6, the men, keep in mind that Saul is dead now. He's been killed in battle with the Philistines. And the men of Jabesh-Gilead had buried him. In verses 5 and 6, David sends a messenger to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and he said to them, "May you be blessed of the Lord because you have shown this kindness to Saul our Lord and have buried him. And now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you, and I also will show this goodness to you because you have done this thing." Saul was David's enemy, wasn't he? Saul had on numerous times tried to kill David. But this is the respect, the kindness that David wanted to see done to the Lord's servant. And in fact, if you go on in 2 Samuel 9, you'll find in 2 Samuel 9, David isn't done with his kindness being extended to individuals. Even of David, Saul's family in 2 Samuel 9. Notice with me the beginning at verse 1. "And then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness or him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, Jonathan is David's son, or was Saul's son, right? A very good friend of David, very close relationship that they had. They're all dead now. And David wants to know if there's yet anyone of Saul's descendants that are yet alive, that he might show them kindness because of Jonathan. And then look at verse 3. "And the king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul who I may show kindness, the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." And then down in verse 7, "And David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." That's kindness shown to individuals. And I'm also reminded of the proverb. In Proverbs 31 of the good wife. In verse 26 it says, "And she opened her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Oh, that we might have such a good woman in our lives. You see, God wants us to show kindness. God expects us to show kindness. In Micah 6, in verses 6 through 8, says, God requires it of His people. "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Did God take pleasure in all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament? Not really. What God was looking for was this very thing that is said in verse 8. "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to be a just person, and to be a person who loves kindness, loves to give kindness, to share kindness, and to show kindness, and to walk humbly with God?" In fact, in Zechariah, he commands it of his people. In Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah 7, beginning at verse 8. Zechariah 7, beginning at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says, or has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppose the widow or the orphan or the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." But they refuse to pay attention. Here's what God requires. But sadly, so many fail to pay attention. In Hosea 12 and verse 6, Hosea 12 and verse 6, "Therefore return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually." All three of these passages note the same three conditions, don't they? In Proverbs 19 and verse 22, it says, what is desired in a man is his kindness. In Proverbs 3 and verse 3, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." They're to become a part of who we are. You see, God has shown us His great love. He has demonstrated His kindness to us. He showed us these things so that we might show it to others. But more than that, He showed it so that we might be brought to repentance. In chapter 2 of Romans, beginning at verse 4, Romans 2, beginning at verse 4, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." This morning, friends, do we regard lightly the kindness and the severity of God? God is going to hold a judgment one day. And during that judgment, we are going to be called upon to give an account of the life that we've lived. Here in Romans 2, Paul very clearly lays those things out to us. What do you want in eternity? Do you want glory and honor and immortality and eternal life? Or do you want wrath and indignation? The choice is yours. The opportunity this morning to be right with God is yours. God is not going to force us to be kind and loving and tender-hearted toward people, nor toward Himself. He leaves that up to us. But that does not mean He will not call us into question on the judgment day. Is your life right with God? If it's not, as we read earlier, today is the day of salvation. Yesterday's gone, it's not coming back. Tomorrow may never get here. Now is the only time. And if you're not right with God, now's the time to get right. if you need to. And if you are not obedient to the gospel, if you've not been obedient to the gospel, then now's the time to be obedient. If you're a child of God and you're not right with God, now's the time to correct that. God's kindness is for the purpose of causing you to repent. Come while we stand and sing.